Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We go behind the headlines in this week's big political story in St. Louis, the swearing-in of a new mayor, the resignation of the city's police chief, and the appointment of a policy advisor for racial equity. We'll begin with a few minutes with Chris King, managing editor of the St. Louis American. Chris, thanks for being with us.
Welcome.
What do you make of the Dotson resignation? Is this a political thing or a performance thing?
It has to be a political thing first. And it showed, to me, astonishing political skill by the new mayor and her chief of staff and anyone else that worked on it. I don't know the inner workings of the deal, but I would have expected 3 months of protest or a half year of protest with all sorts of obfuscations and infighting and all of that to be knocked off the table on day one. It's just an incredible political gesture on the part of the mayor.
What was the problem with Chief Dotson as far as the mayor and others in the community are concerned?
Well, I think it's fair to say that any police chief that went through Ferguson and the aftermath was going to have a lot of enemies, and this police chief had a lot of enemies. I don't know that there was a way to handle that crisis and come through it unscathed. He certainly didn't come through it unscathed. You had, of course, opponents of Mayor Crewson, now Mayor Crewson, in the mayoral campaign calling for his resignation, saying they would fire him on day one. Mm-hmm. So emotions were so high that he was a campaign issue.
He was a campaign issue, actually, certainly from day one. So what now? The community will be looking for a replacement and someone that can be trusted from inside the community or outside?
I think the mayor has tremendous challenges here, because the more important position is the director of public safety, who oversees the police department. We know its problems. The fire department, which has politics that flares up every couple of years, and corrections, which was a disaster under Mayor Slay, with people breaking out of jail and smuggling drugs into jail and having inmates fight each other for sport. So you're going to have to get someone, I would suggest, from outside St. Louis that can manage all three of those departments. That's actually the more important person. And yet all the attention is going to go to the police chief. So she's going to have to get a mediagenic police chief who both can do community policing and get some trust back in the black community, but also, of course, fight crime and solve crimes, because we have a crime problem. So she really has two-headed problems.
Let's talk for a moment about a problem she might have in reaching out, building a bridge to the African-American community, because clearly she has some bridges she has to build to reach those folks.
That's true, and I think all the work there still has to be done for the most part. But there were some good early signs. I mean, negotiating this Dotson departure was just an incredible political feat. Hiring Nicole Hudson to come in as a racial equity policy position, again, a brilliant move. I mean, no one was better positioned to take that position, and it's something we would have cried for if we didn't get it. So when we get it without crying for it, we should applaud that. And then the new chief of staff, also Tim O'Connell, is a very collaborative person.
Why is the black community, shall I use the word, suspicious of her or concerned about her? Was it concerned about her?
You know, as an alderwoman, Lyda Crewson had been there a long time and had not spoken much about issues like racial equity until she became a mayoral candidate. In fact, until her opponents in the campaign started speaking about it. That's arguable. So I think she's a work in progress on the issues that are most important to people, which is that we ease up some of these disparities. We basically improve the outcome and the well-being of African Americans. And we talk about disparities because white people perform better than black people on any indicator, health, economics, that you can mention. The For the Sake of All study at Washington University is the benchmark for that. So she's a work in progress, but I've seen progress.
Well, the things you've just mentioned are the kind of things that I understand are in Nicole Hudson's portfolio. We'll talk with her about that a little bit later. Do you have any kind of a hint about the so-called new direction for the police department?
That's interesting. There has to be something. Consider a couple things, Don. So we went through the towing scandal, and one cop went to prison for that. You couldn't run a scam of that nature without there being more involvement. So who are they? Where are they? Do they still work for the police department? Dotson came up with Mokwa, who was there during the years of the towing scam.
Former chief.
And really all of the baggage of that police department has just compounded over years. So I do believe there's some house cleaning in order, and I believe the mayor's going to have to get some good advisors that really know that chain of command and know who to who to be careful of. The Ethical Society of Police, Black Police Association, are very skeptical of some of the more senior people in line for that top job. I think to promote from within to police chief would be a mistake.
Right. I refer to an editorial in your paper in which you say you're guardedly optimistic about Mayor Crewson and what she's going to be able to do with the lack of financial resources and with, the mandate that Nicole Hudson's going to have.
Yes. I mean, you have to be guarded, but you have to be optimistic. When someone does skillful politics, you have to notice it and applaud it, because when people do terrible, bungling politics, which we've seen a lot of from the mayor's office, you have to curse it when it's bad, and you have to applaud it when it's good, or you're not giving them the right signals.
You surprised at the mayor's skills evidence so far?
I'm impressed. I didn't know her well enough personally to be sure. Our publisher, Donald M. Suggs, had a clear – we're an advocacy newspaper. We had a clear favorite. We tried to be fair in the campaign, but we endorsed Tashara Jones very aggressively and saw Lyda in that lens, that a candidate that we thought was not as good as the candidate we advanced. So we have a learning curve ourselves and seeing what she's capable of. But I can't think of a better 2 days that could have been possible from her, given where she came in the game.
That's Chris King of the St. Louis American. Chris, thanks for being with us and giving us the opportunity to tap into your expertise. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chris King of the St. Louis American. When we come back, Nicole Hudson, a new St. Louis senior policy advisor for racial equity and policy objectives. Even before she was sworn into office, Mayor Crewson made a key appointment. She named Nicole Hudson her senior policy advisor for racial equity and priority objectives. Ms. Hudson is a leader of the nonprofit Forward Through Ferguson. It was established to continue the work of the Ferguson Commission created after the death of Michael Brown. It produced scores of calls for action to correct the racial inequity, social injustice issues that surfaced in Ferguson after the Brown incident. She also worked with the commission. Nicole Hudson, welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
A lot on your plate, obviously.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. Well, thanks for spending a few moments with us.
Sure.
You know, among the work by the Ferguson Commission and Forward Through Ferguson, a lot of work was done on police issues. Mm-hmm. Can you connect the dots between some of that and what happened with the St. Louis police chief this week?
I mean, I think there has been for a long time, not even just focused on the St. Louis police chief, a call for a different type of approach to policing, a call for community-centered, listening to what community believes is public safety, a collaborative approach. We clearly have crime problems from all different angles that many understand to be a pipeline issue. Our issues with education, our issues with hunger, our issues with mental illness and homelessness, all of those things are inextricably tied to our crime issue. And so there's been a push since Michael Brown's death, before that even, to see a different approach. And so I think this opens the door for us to feel as though we are taking a collaborative approach to policing and public safety.
Were you involved in any of the discussions about the chief's retirement?
I actually do not officially go to City Hall until around May 1st, so I have not.
You have not been involved in those discussions.
Nope.
What are you going to be looking for in a new chief? Because I assume you'll be working very, very closely with police and police issues.
I hope so. One of my areas that I named to want to focus on is the idea of service equity. And I see service from everything that a citizen considers service. So policing would definitely be one of those. I'm hoping that the mayor decides to take a national search, that there's a process used that allows community input at multiple parts of the process, perhaps even allowing community to help write the job description. We have a lot of trust that we need to build as a region, and I think this is a ripe opportunity to build a lot of that trust.
I think most people would agree that the mayor does have some work ahead of her in terms of reaching out to the African American community here. That basically is going to be your job, I gather.
I actually hope not. That was one of the things I definitely discussed and pushed back on. I actually didn't want to have racial equity in my title because I knew very quickly how that would get siloed and it would offer the opportunity to place that on one person's plate. I was counseled by many people close to me from all different types of background and races that putting racial equity in the title was important so that it is named and so that it is seen as important and is institutionalized as something that is important for the city. And so it's there. But I was really clear to say that while I can be a leader, while I have lots of relationships and experience talking about and working on racial equity, I want everyone in City Hall to become the racial equity people. It's going to take many people understanding the importance, the strategies, the complexity, the interconnectedness of the issues in order for us to move mountains. This is many, many years of policymaking that we have to start to chip off at. So I can't be the only one, but I believe I will play a leadership role in that process.
You know, what is it about this community? We've been talking about these kinds of things for a long, long time.
Yep.
And here we are still talking.
Yep. It's time to stop
Why?
Talking. It's policies that have been made over the years that have perpetuated false narratives about who we are and what we're capable of, who's deserving and who's not. And I think a lot of us fall victim to those narratives without even realizing it's there. And so we want to insist that it's not about race and we should stop talking about it, and talking about it is what keeps it going. But the reality of the fact that in 1916, there was a public vote to keep African Americans from being able to buy houses in certain parts of the city, therefore connecting to real estate values, connecting to property taxes, which tie to our schools, like you can pretty quickly see how a policy made in 1916 here very locally has had impact on the ability for certain groups of people to build wealth and have access to healthy, thriving neighborhoods. So there's a lot baked into our structure that until we take a look at that and understand how we have inherited that, we will not fix and will continue to talk about.
Also baked into the structure, however, is 1948, Shelley versus Kramer went to the Supreme Court, ended restrictive covenants in the city of St. Louis. 1948.
Yeah, 1948. Yeah. But we all know that, you know, we reorganize around that. Yeah. So there were ways that it was illegal, but people still sort of privately took it upon themselves to continue those processes. You know, there's still restrictive covenants that were never fixed and you can find today that have that language still in them. So, yeah, it's a process.
I want to open our phone lines. In the limited time we have, I think people would want to talk to Nicole Hudson. 382-825 is our phone number if you'd like to call in. We'd love to hear from you. You can also send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd like to send us a tweet, do so at STL on air. Nicole, do you have a sense of what Mayor Crewson's new direction for the police department is going
to be? I don't. We have not had a chance to discuss that. Yeah. I would guess from what I've heard her say that building some community trust around the process, looking at public safety holistically, I would guess that those are things that she's thinking about, but we have not had that discussion.
You have, as part of your job title, is priority objectives.
Yes.
What are they, and would you be formulating policy or simply implementing someone else's?
So my original offer was to be a senior policy advisor, period. And she gave me rein to think about what I wanted my title to be and what I wanted the role to look like. And so knowing that when it comes to the issues facing the city, there's a very, very long list, I knew that I would need to prioritize some things. And I also wanted to know, walking in, that I would have some authority to be part of policymaking and also to get some stuff done and have the authority and the resources to get some stuff done. So the things I personally identified were around this idea of service equity. There's a lot of trust that we need to build, and part of building that trust is making sure people's trash is picked up and making sure we've got
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to just clarify, and you just started to, that what service equity really means, that is that everybody in the community gets access to the same services.
Exactly. Yeah. And we know that not to be true today, and Lydia's talked about this. Another area that I chose to focus on was data and transparency, because it's hard to know where you can make the most difference without having a good baseline. And there's a lot that we don't know about There's a lot we do know because we have been reported and assessed to death. There's a lot that we do know. Mm-hmm. But in terms of getting to the nitty gritty about mm-hmm. which policies first, which areas investing in first, we need to make sure we have good data around that. And we have a lot of anecdotal opinions about where these issues are happening. But being able to look at data points and connect them together will help us see where we actually have the issues and how we can move on them most quickly and most efficiently, because we know we don't have an unlimited budget. And the third area is around food safety or food security. We know that we could redesign our public schools and make them perfect, and we still have kids coming to class, coming to school hungry, who aren't able to concentrate, who are running into discipline, getting into the school-to-prison pipeline simply because they are not eating enough. And so we've got a lot of great efforts in that space. And so to me, that looked like a space where we could pretty quickly pull together a lot of the people who care about that and look at some systemic policy level initiatives that could bring that energy together and get that taken care of as a basic need.
There are so many recommendations on the table for so many different
exactly.
things. One of the things that comes to mind is an issue that we've dealt with here on this program. That's the For the Sake of All
Correct.
Report, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Correct.
Which basically is talking about exactly the same
yes.
things that you are.
Right.
Are you going to be bringing people like Jason Purnell and some of the academicians into the fold?
So I think one of the things we have been lucky to do with Forward Through Ferguson is to really take a collaborative approach to mm-hmm. lots of issues. So there are a number of tables actively around town solving and working toward implementation around these. Community or child development accounts is one of them. School-based health centers is another. Both of those are in For the Sake of All. We've been working together on those for the last year or so. So I would expect that, you know, I've said that I'm not really leaving Forward Through Ferguson because it's the same work. So if you look at the work that has to get done in the region, I'm switching seats, but I'll likely be working with many of the same people just from a different angle and building some capacity for more folks to be getting this work done in the region.
We have a caller who wants to get into the discussion. I think I gave the wrong phone number a moment ago. I hope it wasn't my home phone number. I did that once, and it's not a good thing to do. 382-8255 is our number, folks, if you want to talk to Nicole Hudson. Meantime, let's bring in Kirsten calling from St. Louis. Kirsten, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a black attorney here in St. Louis. So I support the police, but I've also personally been affected by, you know, insider and kind of misconduct issues. And one thing that always has struck me as just very telling about the public's perception of the police as not being their priority is when there's an officer-involved shooting, you see just hordes of police converge upon, you know, the hospital, and they're just standing around waiting to find out what's happened. And while I totally, you know, think that an officer who's injured in the line of duty, that is a, you know, a heroic thing, I don't understand how finances are wasted by having these officers on the clock, able to do nothing, not involved in the investigation. And really, it really bothered me when I saw the live coverage of Officer Blake Snyder, who we didn't even know who was in the ambulance. We assumed they were rushing someone to the hospital, and instead it was a full, like, presidential police escort to the city morgue. Even the news didn't even think that maybe it was a slain officer. And I'm just wondering, I mean, all the highway exits were closed. There were, you know, there's a large motorcade, and just the fact that those resources are pulled away from the areas that need protection, arguably that need those bad guys off the street so another officer doesn't get killed.
Kirsten, excuse me for interrupting. Our time is limited. I think we have your point, and let's have Nicole respond to that. But thank you for the call.
I think one of the biggest challenges in front of us is how we understand, this is back to transparency, how we understand the full picture of what we're seeing. I can't actually speak to what you're saying because I actually don't know the specifics of on or off duty or the way in which those things happen on a regular basis. But I do understand that we constantly have perception issues about these sorts of things on all different sides from all different angles. And one of the traps that we fall into as a region is getting caught in the debate about those perceptions. And so I think there's an opportunity moving forward, looking at transparency, how we can better understand the things that go on in order to maybe skip getting into perception arguments and get together around solutions.
It seems to me what Kirsten wants is to have all cops on duty at all times and, you know, doing the work that police are supposed to do.
I mean, I think I see what she's saying about the when you see resources, the resources that you're shown on the news are here, but we don't know what other resources are at play or how that is handled. I'm sure there's a protocol for that in the police department, and I'm not educated about that enough to know what those details are.
What about, given your portfolio, what about working with St. Louis County and the municipalities in the county? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you've been through the whole Ferguson mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Do you see a role for you in terms of city-county cooperation in these areas that your portfolio dictates?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the city can only control the city. Right. However, our futures are inextricably linked, and so how can we as City Hall set a posture and a table that is inviting and collaborative? There are a number of initiatives that I know about through the Ferguson Commission work and Forward Through Ferguson work that are working city-county together. And so I think ways in which the city can continue to be at, because they are at some of those tables, and maybe join more tables and set and open up and set a posture for that there could be opportunities.
I asked that question because clearly there's no wall between the city
exactly.
and the county. And a lot of the problems in the city spill over that way and vice versa.
And Illinois as well, yes.
Exactly. Homelessness being just one of those issues.
I mean, I think that we've been signaled in a number of ways that have been pointed out that, you know, Mayor Crewson and County Executive have a relationship, and we've seen them together and, you know, at her victory party. And, you know, people have been talking about that. I think I'm hopeful that that's a signal that we can be more collaborative regionally.
We have another call here, and this one is coming from a familiar voice, Bill Haas, who is a member of the elected school board, but he wants to bring in education into the discussion. Bill, make it quick, though, if you would.
Sure. Well, congratulations on your appointment, and I'm so happy for Lida's victory and glad I didn't do better. It might have cost her the election. I think she's doing great. And during the campaign, I talked about what racial equity meant to me, is our third graders reading at higher than 40% at grade level and our eighth graders graduating at higher than 60% with good skills. And I know that's a tough problem for a mayor to address, but I was wondering if that's on your radar screen at all and what your views are on it.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree that education is one of those key spaces where racial inequities show up starkly. I think that the ways in which a lot of the things the mayor does have more direct control over with are connected to education, that there are a number of initiatives in play that are working in that space, and that leveraging and highlighting those as much as possible is critical.
The fact of the matter is that the mayor really doesn't have much
exactly.
control over that.
Exactly.
But Mayor Slay was on the program a few days ago, and he basically says, well, there is a bully pulpit. Such
exactly.
a thing as a bully pulpit.
That's right. Yeah. So being able to frame things, being able to help people see how things are interconnected, shining a light, making sure people see how the pipeline is connected, I think can help push that.
Do you feel that you have a bully pulpit?
You know, I don't know. I think some people would say that I do. I don't really see it that way. I think as soon as I start to, like, see it that way, then it kind of becomes something I'm not interested in. I think that because I have walked through fire with 10, 15, 20 other folks that I could name for the last handful of years at the core of this Forward Through mm-hmm. Ferguson work, there are things that people turn to me to hear what I have to say about them. But, yeah.
You have a little more volume than you might have had a year or
I
two.
I guess.
Let's take another call. Anjanette, I believe, is the way the name should be pronounced. She's calling from the Central West End. Go ahead, Anjanette.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
Ms. Hudson, I'd like to know how volunteer organizations can work with your office and the mayor's office to let residents know of the wonderful free programs that are available out there, especially those programs that work to eliminate the stigma of mental health.
That's a great question. I think one of our, this is another reason data and transparency is on my list. I think we have, we know in this region we have more than enough resources to solve our issues. We know how to solve them in certain neighborhoods for certain people. And making sure that those who are dedicated to that are working together, are linked together, are supported and encouraged to work together and collaborate, I think can start to see some movement that we haven't seen before. So I don't have a specific answer to your question, but I'll tell you that it's something I'm already thinking about a lot because I'm already getting a lot of emails. We've got this organization who's focusing on this, and we've got that organization who's focusing on that. And that's a lot of what we've done with Forward Through Ferguson is kind of helping people link together, not necessarily relying on extra resources from us, but even just in being introduced to each other and given some frameworks to work together to get some stuff done. So I would say follow up with me in a little bit because I'm definitely thinking about what a system looks like to help try to intake the types of questions that you're asking and make sure people get linked together.
And St. Louis has a wonderful spirit of volunteerism. I think that's one of the things that makes the community stand out.
It does.
We have a tweet here from Tony who writes, "Will city budgeting processes be altered regarding service equity? Right now, I think," he says in parentheses, "service budgets equal between wards, mm-hmm. but needs mm-hmm. are not equal."
So I know that last year through CREA, the city did some racial equity training from the Government Alliance for Race and Equity, and budgeting equity was one of the things that they took a look at. That's one of the first things I want to get up to speed on when I do get in there. But that is one of the ways in which you take a look through a racial equity lens at a city budget in a situation where maybe everybody gets the same and you've got some services that will never get to the baseline place with just the same every year, and you might need to alter that for a year. Making sure that services stay intact in other places, but making sure that you're bringing things up equitably, not equally. They're different.
We have a minute left. When are you actually going to take the job?
We're looking at around May 1st. We want to make sure there's a solid transition with Forward Through Ferguson, and that was one of the things. I will not disappear from Forward Through Ferguson. I'll definitely still be involved for a time, but we're looking at some strong interim lead catalyst candidates, and so we'll be moving forward on that very soon.
So you'll have a staff in the city? In the city job, will you have a staff?
We are still working out what that looks like. It looks like we're still looking at what the org chart looks like inside the city. So,
Nicole Hudson, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for
being
with us today.
Thank you.